August 15th. I can't believe, man, we are halfway through the year. The summer is almost over. My name is Donnie DeSilva. Joining me this week, as always, whenever we decide to do this damn thing, he is the Eric B to my Rakim, the Jazzy Jeff to my Will Smith. He's the Spinderella to my Sultan Peppa. It's Chris Tidwell.
Get bent, the Jazzy Jeff to your Will Smith.
What?
Get out of here. Who
knows the DJ is the one with the talent? Bro, come on. Bro.
Ain't nobody tossing me out, Uncle Phil style, out that front door. That shit ain't happening.
All right, that's funny.
What's going on, Donnie?
Not much, man. It's been busy times. It's been busy times. All sorts of stuff going on. All sorts of fun things going on, all sorts of projects boiling for both of us, some of which have already come to the surface. Obviously, you've been busy over on your Tid Talks channel and doing the Law Live Audio Wrestling. I've got another project in the works that we'll be announcing shortly. Some people checked out last week. I started doing a Instagram Live with our friend Christmas Abbott, where we talk and do a recap show of the live episode of Big Brother on Thursday nights. So Big Brother fans, if you want to hear my thoughts on that, you can check out the Instagram Lives. And if you miss them live, they are posted up on the Instagram account on Donnie.DeSilva or Christmas Abbott. And this saves Tid from having to listen to Big Brother conversation.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it doesn't save me from having to listen to it. I just don't listen to it.
So next week when we have a Big Brother guest on the show, he'll just sit there like this. La 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 la. I am not listening to you.
See, here's the thing that you don't remember, Donnie, is that we've had this all before. We've had these conversations, and yes. I still know how to make conversations because they're just human beings and they're fucked up. All of them. Every one of these people that do these shows or do these podcasts or just in general, we're humans. We just have conversations. That's it.
That's actually the brilliant common denominator between all of our guests. Because people often say, well, you interview pro athletes, you interview comedians, musicians, actors, you interview authors, you interview reality TV people, pro wrestlers. You interview everyone on that show. How do you keep it all straight? How do you prepare? How do you know enough to interview people from all different walks of life? And Tid just gave the quintessential answer. They're all just fucked up humans. We're all just damaged pieces of meat.
Yeah. We do this show. They agree to come on this show. You listen to this show or watch this show, whatever the case may be. And the wheels go round and round and round. And it's great.
Love it. So there's been lots of stuff going on in the world over the last couple of weeks. We have a few minutes to talk before our guest joins us, so I thought we would just sort of kick the ball around a little bit. First and foremost, how much of the Olympics did you actually watch? Because the Olympics have just now come to an end. How much of it did you actually take in?
Okay, so here's the thing with the Summer Olympics for me.
Okay.
I think a lot of the sports or activities that they do in the Olympics are useless, worthless, and like, what are you going to do afterwards? How do you put that on your resume? You know, for example, we had breakdancing this year. And yeah, yeah, I did watch that. But as far as like the Olympics go, I'll be honest with you. I watched a shit ton of the wrestling. Almost all of the wrestling, a whole bunch of the boxing I watched as well. You know what I mean? But like people doing synchronized diving or handball. I also did watch a little bit of basketball. I watched that game between the United States and Serbia.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Good game. Wow, dude.
Good game.
The top-notch game. That game should have been for the gold. Right?
Yeah.
The way that game played out. So, but yeah, I watched actually a fair bit more of the Olympics this year just because of the wrestling and the boxing and stuff like that. Not because of the drama that was going on around it. Those are the events in the Summer Olympics that I usually watch. You know what I mean? So what about you? Yeah. How much of the Olympics did you watch?
I'll be honest with you. Not a ton. I saw a lot of Olympic highlights. I did watch a lot of the Olympic basketball. You know, I'm a big basketball head. Obviously I was crushed at the fact that Canada just got absolutely jobbed. That was some of the worst officiating I've ever seen in my life when they took on France in France. But that being said, they also shot terribly from the free throw line. They did themselves no favors whatsoever. Had they not committed stupid turnovers and not shot the ball poorly, they still should have had a chance to win, even with the officials being as bad as they were. But the officials did them no favors. Like it was almost comical, you know, and they obviously had some chemistry issues too. I mean, Jamal Murray, who I've known since he was a teenager, Jamal Murray obviously didn't enjoy coming off the bench. He sucked balls for Canada. He's used to being a star player, playing next to that big dog who you were just alluding to that plays for Serbia.
Yeah.
Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, the pride of Hamilton, Ontario, he looked like one of the best players on the planet. And he is one of the best players on the planet.
Okay.
When it's all said and done and he retires, they'll be calling him the best Canadian player ever. Right. But aside from that, aside from the basketball, yeah, I watched some of the breakdancing just out of curiosity. Someone said to me, You were talking off air about the Australian breakdancer, and I think that whole thing went viral with how goofy it was, right? But someone said to me, don't disrespect Australia's talent because that particular breakdancer is actually a legend in the breakdance community just past their prime.
So and here's
like, really?
I have some thoughts about this because there's videos out there of this Ray Gunn person doing her stuff before the Olympics can break dance this stuff that was done on the Olympics. I think the entire thing was a setup. I think the entire thing was meant to make her go viral and turn into this internet sensation. I think the whole thing is a work. It's very Spinal Tap-ish, if you ask me, you know what I mean? Okay. But it's worked. It's worked 100% because really at the end of the day, Donnie, does she care about winning gold in breakdancing at the Olympics? Listen, I don't know about you, but if I see that on somebody's resume that's looking for a job, oh, you won gold in breakdancing. All right. So
want to run the accounting department?
Don't lift heavy stuff. Got it. Yeah, I get it. Listen. And that's a thing that they said they were doing for 1 year. It's another thing from the 90s, you know, like a lot of things. In fact, Did you know that our guest, who is waiting patiently right now, is here to talk about that very stuff, the 90s.
I love that. And yeah, he's got an event coming up and we're going to talk about that. So if he's here, Tid, let's bring him in.
Boom.
Because ladies and gentlemen, it's time right now for the big hello. This week's guest is a producer, a radio personality, but you know and love him as one of the most influential DJs in history. He innovated a performance style that is still copied or emulated to this day. It all started innocently enough, spinning records at high school parties, but he soon found himself working with guys like Kanye, Cardinal, New Kids, John Legend, Usher, and Drake, and many, many more. A lot of you know him as the personal DJ of Canadian stand-up comic, former guest on this show, Russell Peters. He's got a big event, which Tid was just alluding to, in the Greater Toronto Area on August 24th called Way Back, A Journey Through the 90s. It's going to feature iconic musicians from that decade, live pro wrestling, and an attempt at breaking a world record. Ladies and gentlemen, if he's in a DJ battle, it's a big mismatch. Poser's coming for the crown, but he will dispatch. Losers will be crying, but there's no rematch because he's undefeated starting from scratch.
Ah, you wrote that nicely. I love it.
What's are you up, suggesting... Fellas? Are you suggesting that wasn't off the top of the dome scratch?
I am absolutely suggesting.
Okay, well, you're a smart man. Yeah,
it's not a suggestion. It's flat out saying it.
It's a flat out statement.
Top of my lungs.
Listen, I don't have to tell you. You know the state of freestyle battles in our world today. They're all written.
True. You have a valid point.
So, I'm on trend, baby. How are you, Scratch?
I'm good. And it's funny, Chris, what you were just saying about the breakdancer. I had that same exact conversation and the same viewpoint as you today, too. I was like, she did exactly what she wanted to do.
Yeah. Yeah. When I first saw it, I thought I was watching a skit. I thought it was like Steve Carell, you know what I mean? 40-year-old virgin type skit. And then the more it goes on, you're like, hold on a second. There's more to this person. Oh, this whole thing was a work. Good for
her. However she got in there, that's a whole other mystery, but she definitely accomplished what she wanted to accomplish.
Yeah. I mean, if I'm in a novelty category at the Olympics and I look at the competition and I know in my heart of hearts, I'm being honest and looking at myself in the mirror and I know there's not a hope in hell I'm going to make it to the podium. What's the next best thing? Infamy. Yeah, right.
You Roseanne Barr that anthem. That's what you do.
Yeah,
you make them remember you.
I kind of love that, actually. I think it's I think it's, you know what? Someone said to me, I can't wait to see the SNL sketch. I'm like, she already SNL'd herself. What can they do?
Fallon already did it. Fallon already beat her to it.
Oh, I missed that.
Yeah, Fallon did one already with her. I mean, it's you know how life goes. It's the story of the 10 minutes. It's that 10 minutes. So
that's exactly right. I mean, we've seen some stuff lately, though, right? In pop culture with people getting their 10 minutes of fame. We haven't really even talked about it on this show, Tid, but someone made a comment to me the other day and said, the Haktua girl has turned her 15 minutes of fame into a solid hour, and I'm good with it. Because she ends up being like one of the most charming, down-to-earth Southern girls with an actual personality. I think she's going to go legit famous as a result of that stupid Haktua interview. And no one is coming for her. No one's coming for her. Like, oh, screw her. She doesn't deserve it. They're like, oh, she's kind of charming and kind of sweet.
It's probably half and half. I think a lot of people are. I mean, would you really want that to be your legacy? That's what you're known as. You know what I mean? No matter what she does in the future, she's always going to be known as that. So I don't know if that's the greatest thing in the world.
I think she's like the whole cash me outside chick or the, you know, that chick is still famous to this day. You know what I mean? But for the wrong reasons. So
now she's OnlyFans famous.
Yeah. Oh, she? Look how much money she made.
How much are you getting off of you, Donnie?
Can I see your credit card statements?
I will release my credit card statements. I have no problem with that. There's a lot of porn available for free. I ain't going to OnlyFans. So let's talk about this event you've got coming up on August 24th. Mm-hmm. My first thought that comes to my mind, Scratch, is when I first met this man next to me, Chris Tidwell, we were working at a nightclub in Toronto back in the late 90s called Whiskey Saigon.
Of course.
And at Whiskey Saigon, it was open from Wednesday to Sundays. Every night was rammed. Tid would often be grabbing drunk asses and throwing them on the sidewalk. And I remember saying to friends or family members back in those days, they're like, oh, I'd like to come check out Whiskey Saigon. What night do you think I would like? And I'm like, well, our most popular night is Retro Sundays. And then these people that are like in their late 20s or whatever at the time, like, 80s are considered retro.
Right?
They have a little bit of a coronary and they feel really old because they're only in their late 20s. And now when we think about, yeah, we got to do this way back party for the 90s. And it's like, true. Oh God, that was a long time ago. But for me, it doesn't feel that long ago, Scratch.
Absolutely. I mean, to this new generation, songs that came out in 2023 are old school to them.
Yeah.
Like they're inundated with so much now that nothing lasts anymore and everything just feels old to them. Like, oh, you have that on your phone already? Ew. Or you have that on your phone still? It came out last week. Don't you have this? He already released 18 new songs this week.
I literally had a conversation with a young kid the other day. He's like 21 years old. And he's like, so you're into hip hop? I said, yeah, man, I love hip hop, but I'm more into like the old school hip hop. He's like, yeah, 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 me too. Like Jay-Z and 50. I'm like, that's what you call old school hip hop?
Well, I mean, Jay-Z qualifies because he had a lot of 90s stuff, but yeah, I mean, 50 to these kids is old school. Absolutely.
My old school hip hop, I'm going mid late 80s, bro. Like,
Totally lost them. You lost them. That's like our parents talking to us about Benny Goodman to these guys.
I made the mistake one time at the job and I put on some music. I had a young kid, he was 21, said he listened to, you know, rap and hip hop and stuff like that in the back. And so I put on like some old school stuff. Like some old Biggie and Tupac and even like Grandmaster Flash and stuff like that. And he's like, what the hell is this? like everything is completely different. The music is so much different.
Absolutely.
The way that rapping is so much different. You know what I mean? Yeah. The pacing, everything is so much different, not just in rap, but in pop music, in
absolutely
rock and roll and metal and all of it. Right. But the one thing that they haven't been able to do since probably the 90s, maybe some of the early 2000s, because, you know, there's those crossover eras, is create music that is going to be considered retro, that you're still going to listen to in the 2030s. You know what I mean?
I don't think they care, to be honest. I mean, I don't think that even matters to these guys, to be honest. I think from what I can see and from what I can hear, especially in hip hop, underground stuff is underground stuff. That's always going to live. That's always going to be there for that audience. But like the main poppy, rappy stuff that you hear, songs are like 2 minutes. You know, there's no intent of any long lasting, you know, legacy with that kind of music. They're making it as quick as they can put it out, right, with the thought process of now I got to put out another song next week and another song next week, right, and what hits. So when you're putting out that kind of quantity, you know, there and we have this conversation as DJs a lot, like there really is nothing after the mid 2000s that will last.
Like a lot of people, I was going to say, a lot of people talk about the 90s as being the greatest music decade. Right. Whether you're looking at the emergence of grunge rock and alternative rock, whether you're looking at the hip hop that was coming out at that time, even the pop music that was coming out at that time was selling out stadiums. Absolutely. Do you subscribe to this theory that was the single best musical decade, not just for one genre, but all the way around?
I mean, I don't know if I'd put my name on that, but, because I think every decade really has something special about it, to be honest with you.
That's fair.
I think the difference was in the 90s, a lot of those things were introduced, right? Yep. So like you're saying, the grunge. And I mean, it's been there since the 60s and stuff, but it evolved into what everybody called grunge in the 90s. And even with the hip hop, like that's when you kind of saw the changeover from the, you know, the corny-ish kind of 80s rap. And it went different. It went more clubby and it went more street to say and all that stuff. And that happened with the pop music too. Like we got to see megastar, but pop megastars in the 80s, same thing. You know what I mean? So I wouldn't necessarily say that the 90s were the best, but I think it was probably, I mean, there was a huge difference between 70s and 80s, like massive difference in music.
Right.
It became very synthesized and pop took over, especially in the 80s. Like it was all pop.
More cocaine.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's every decade, but so I think the 90s is when music became maybe a little cooler and the newer generation really had something to latch onto. Because in the 80s, it was kind of like everybody was listening to you, because all we had was radios. So everybody heard the same music all the time. Then the 90s, 100%. You would have the Walkmans and you would have these different devices where you can, you know, kind of individualize what you wanted to listen to. Yeah. And I think that gave people more options, and it made those grunge, all that stuff would have never survived in the 80s because radio wouldn't have played it. Only college stations would have played it. But then it became mainstream in the 90s because there was so much different music coming out and it fit the norm at that point. Who would have ever thought like Nirvana or any of these groups would have been pop records per se?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Talk to us about this event you have coming up on August 24th, the Way Back Journey Through the 90s. How did you get involved with this whole thing? And what's the goal here? Because when I see an event with general admission tickets being free, now you do have the high roller tickets, which I think is kind of sick. But, you know, you look at this and there's a bunch of names that are appearing on this. Mm-hmm. How did you get involved with this? And you know, what's the mindset behind an event like this?
So I was approached by a friend of mine, and he already had it set in his mind that he wanted to do the largest Macarena thing. And he had the venue.
So I teased that there was a world record attempt being broken, but I didn't say what it was. Yeah. So you hinted they're going to try to set the record for the largest.
Oh, no, we will. We're going to break that.
What is it currently?
2,219 people.
2,219? Those assholes couldn't find one more person just to keep it an even number?
You'd go figure, right?
Right? Oh, so that's weird.
But the key to that is, like, you know, they did it at Yankee Stadium. They did it at all these different sporting events and so forth with thousands, but it was never legal. It was never, you know, officiated, let's say.
Right.
So none of those things count. So it was this school in England or whatever that did it, and they had 2,219. And that was, you know, over 10 years, or I don't even remember what the year is, but I think it's like 10, 15 years ago or something like that. So I was approached with this. And at first I was like, well, that doesn't really sound like my kind of thing. But then we kind of talked it out, and I said, well, what if I build something around it to make it, and we make it like a full day event? Because that was the other angle, was we really wanted to do something and bring, like, I wanted something I can bring my kids to and bring the communities in and the families in. And even originally when we put it out, it was kids 18 and under were free because we really wanted that aspect to be there. And then we got a lot of people latched onto it. We had some great donors and sponsors, so we were able to make it now free for everybody, which is incredible. The basis of it was, the base around it was always the Macarena thing. And then I built, with the help of my partner, we built the night part of it, which is where all those acts come in. And then we brought in the wrestling stuff in the daytime, and there's going to be tons of activities for the kids. We really, really, really trying to make it a family. I know we say family friendly, but we're really trying to make it family friendly as well. I know a lot of people say family friendly, which means you can bring anybody, but we're really catering to the family aspect of it.
So there should be some cousins and stuff like that fighting.
Like, wouldn't expect anything less.
If it's anything like my family functions.
Yeah. The drunk uncle.
Right?
Go home, but Bill. Yeah. You've had too much. Yeah. No more Macarena for you, Steve.
They never go home, do they? that's the basis. That's the basis of the event. It's kind of like three parts in the day.
Okay. And the performances from names like Real to Real, Snap, Maximilian, Technotronic.
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
Some iconic 90s bangers that are going to be in there. Is there anyone in there in that list of people that are going to be performing that for you personally, like, I want to rock with that person?
Yeah, I mean, I know, I know Matt Stuntman personally. I know Simone Denny, obviously, personally. I've met Snap before. Never met Technotronic, so I'm looking forward to that. Never met Maximilian, so I'm looking forward to that. I mean, that's what the business is, right? It's like you do you do this work with people, you establish those relationships, and down the line you get to work with them again. So I'm really looking forward to it. I have a lot of, it's a very family unit. That's actually like with Tony Monaco and Z103, like we've been friends for, you know, 30 plus years. So it's a very family friendly on the behind the scenes as well as in front of the scenes. Right. So it's fun. I'm really looking forward to it. At first, like I said, at first with the whole Macarena thing, I thought it was going to be cheesy and all that. But then I was like, well, wait, if we really build around it, I think we can make it something really fun and cool. And then the funny thing is, I'll just talk to random people now that, like, the word's gotten out pretty well. So random people will stop me, or I'll talk to them, or they'll send me messages, and they'll be like, I can't wait to do the Macarena thing. And in my mind, I'm like, really?
That's what you're hyped about?
Yeah. But then it is exciting. Like, I got to bring my daughter with me on TV. She's going to come with me tomorrow morning. We're going to do another TV appearance. So the fact that I get to do this stuff with my kids is the best thing in the world to me.
No, that's awesome. And I think it's sick that you just mentioned Tony Monaco, of course, longtime radio personality on Z103 yep. here in Toronto. I mean, I met Tony when I was a kid in high school. Yeah. And back then, he was like this grown man.
Yeah. And
my old buddy that I went to high school with, Iron Mike, who was DJing.
I know Iron Mike. Yeah, of course.
So Iron Mike knew Tony through the club scene. And when there would be a WWF pay-per-view, you know, Tony would host at his place, and we all, a bunch of teenagers showing up at Tony Monaco's house to watch wrestling.
And we and all used like, to oh, play
this
hockey.
Is kind of cool.
We all used to play hockey. Iron Mike and all those guys, we all used to play hockey together.
Yeah, Mike's a decent little hockey player.
Yeah, we all used to play. Chris Shepard. All
yeah,
those guys.
Yeah, yeah.
We all used to play. It was fun.
DJ Dog Whistle, crazy. Listen, I think it's going to be a really cool event. I'm going to try to make it out. I'm going to see if I can get Notorious T.I.D. Chris Tidwell over there to come do the Macarena.
Please right? do.
Tid, do you know the Macarena? Can you do the Macarena?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I do it every once in a while, usually with cheese. Sometimes with like a tomato sauce and some sausage.
As you should.
Sausage.
Yeah. As you should. I mean, if anything, we can get Chris in the wrestling ring for sure, if anything.
Oh. I think those days might be over.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's what. Sorry,
go ahead. We've all had dreams of doing that killer leg drop at the end.
Yeah, unfortunately, Chris has done so many of those that his body won't allow him to do another one. That's true. That's the bottom line. His in-ring days are done. But I think it's cool. You got the guys from Battle Arts Pro. Obviously, they're a great organization and a lot of good people involved with Battle Arts. So I'm sure that'll be a lot of fun. I'm going to try to make it out and see all the fun.
Please do.
Scratch, I know you've got a busy night, so we will let you go, but thanks for coming on.
And if
people
so
want to find out more about the event, or they want to purchase the High Roller tickets, where can they get more info?
What is it? Nostalgiainc.ca, I believe. I think you
okay.
probably have it on the flyer in front of you, but I think it's that. Or right, if anything, hit me up on Instagram or something, or I'll get it sorted out one way or another.
We'll get it up on godfathersofpodcasting.com in the show notes for this episode. You can check out Starting From Scratch on Instagram. You can check out Nostalgia Inc. and get your High Roller tickets, or just show up with the free general admission.
Yeah.
Do the Macarena.
Bring everybody you know.
Yeah, bring everybody.
What happens, if one person does the Macarena and they're not on time, or they do it backwards? Are they disqualified from the count?
No. Ooh. So I know the way it works is we have to have one volunteer basically for every 50 people, so they watch it in groups, but obviously not everybody's going to do it on time and whatever, not everybody can dance the same, but I think as long as you stay in motion, we have to do it for 5 minutes. That's their stipulation, and they're obviously, they'll watch from the stage and watch the mass of people do it. Everybody's going to have a little square to step into and do it, so it's really organized, it's really great. I don't think they'll knock you if you mess up the move, as long as you stay moving.
Okay. So it's not like synchronized swimming in the Olympics. It's a little more lenient.
I mean, imagine it would look like, you know, when you see the Shaolin Temple and they're all doing the moves of thousands of kids doing the moves, like it would look like that. It'd look amazing. But I mean, anybody and everybody of any age level or dance capacity can come out and try it out. We really want to break this record. I think it'll be a great look. for everybody and something positive that we need now. Like everywhere you turn is this social media is just crazy with negative stuff all the time.
I agree, man.
We just did a spot on City News. And so I was sitting there watching with my daughter. We were, of course, the last thing they played. So I watched the whole newscast and my wife is like, can you turn this off? This is really depressing. And I was like, I know it is. It's like every single thing on the news is like, it's terrible. So just to have something positive like this, we're all really looking forward to it. We know Mother Nature is going to be really cool for us.
Nice.
She'll be nice to us that day. And yeah, we're just looking for, I mean, it's free for everybody. Come on out. There's everything, food trucks, licensed area for the older folks that want to have, they want to have the adult juice. And then that's it for everybody. It's a full day. It's going to be a great day.
Tremendous. I think for the Macarena attempt, get the older white folks, like the really white folks, and put them at the back because sometimes they struggle with the rhythm.
I was going to reference that, but I mean, look at us three on here. So, I mean, come on.
Well, I mean, Tid's indigenous and I'm rhythmless. So, you know, I'm speaking of myself.
There you go.
Scratch, thanks for hanging out with us, man. Much appreciated.
I appreciate you guys so much, man. Thank you for shining a light on it. I always appreciate it.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun event, dude. We were happy to talk about it. Have a good time.
Thank you, guys. Take care.
There he goes. DJ starting from scratch. He is an absolute legend in the community. We didn't even have time to talk about all the cool stuff he's doing with Russell Peters. We didn't have time to talk about all the cool stuff he's doing in the music world. We'll do that another time. We just wanted to put a little bit of a spotlight on what he's got cooking. Before we wrap this up, Tid, as we're talking about the 90s, I mean, that's the decade you and I met. And we just sort of alluded to it with Scratch about how there's a lot of great music that came out of the 90s. Is there anything that was happening in the 90s that you miss, or things that happened in the 90s that we no longer have that you go, I'm glad the world is no longer like that?
Yeah, the amount of sex that I had back then. Was a lot more.
You had a lot of sex back then. That is a shoot. this guy was a coxman.
And that is also the same answer for both questions.
The thing that you miss and the thing that you're glad you don't have.
Exactly. 100%.
People don't know. Tid was quite the coxman.
Well, anyways. What else are you going to do at that time, huh?
I mean, you're at that age, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're just having a good time, ladies. How you doing?
Just doing what we do. Hey, you want to come to a nightclub?
I think one of the things for me that I found really exciting about the 90s,
okay,
and I think Scratch alluded to it, but he was talking about music. But if you look actually holistically, there was so much that was emerging in our lives for the very first time in the mid to late 90s. That's mm-hmm. when we first all got exposed to the internet, mm-hmm. right? Like before that, like I got my first email address when I went to college. Before that, I didn't even understand the concept of email. I'm like, so what? I type on a computer and someone's going to see it?
Cell phone.
What? Cell phone. We didn't have cell phones then. You know, I remember you and I both had pagers. Mm-hmm. We're walking around like we're doctors or drug dealers or something with a little pager. Yep.
And because of working in the fucking clubs when we did, and working at Whiskey in Toronto there, I was one of the first people to have a cell phone. Because mm-hmm. you'd have the guys coming around, you know, those first salesmen coming around and be like, okay, let's work out a deal here. And it was that, you know, Motorola looked like it actually looked like that Tesla truck. The Motorola phone looked like the Tesla truck. And that's what you had back then. You had to pull the antenna up and pop open the bottom. And the battery was, you know, five times the size of the actual phone itself. That was the 90s. Look where we are now. Can you imagine? I mean, listen, we're probably going to be dead and gone. But like in another, you know, 30 years, where we're going to be?
Crazy.
Wild.
It's crazy. And you know what? You mentioned this, getting the cell phones for the first time. We're talking about, you know, the days when we were at that nightclub, Whiskey Saigon, one of our colleagues that we worked with at Whiskey Saigon, I was going to say, I don't want to say his name. Who cares? I say his name, Cisco. Cisco was the first guy I ever saw walking around with his own cell phone that wasn't like a company thing. You know what I mean? He had a cell phone, but he was one of these guys where it seemed like every week he had a different one. Mm-hmm. And they kept getting smaller and smaller and smaller. And it got to the point where, I don't know if you remember this, he had a little silver cell phone. And I'm demonstrating for the people listening and not watching, but he had a little silver cell phone that was like an inch and a half tall.
Yeah.
And it was a flip phone. I was like, how do you use that? He's like, very carefully.
Well, don't you remember they all made their way down to like, you know, a Snickers bar size.
Yeah.
Like you had those Ericsson cell phones that they just kept getting smaller and smaller and smaller. And then as soon as we got like any kind of touch screen involved at all, now they're bigger and bigger and bigger, and pretty soon we're gonna be like walking around, you know, we're going to be walking around with 24 inch monitors on our shoulders. Like it's the '70s and it's a boom box. You know what I mean? Like we're going to resort like, oh, I need a bigger screen now. Come on.
I remember when you and I were doing our original radio show together, which was an all internet show. And again, the name of this show is based on that. The fact that we were one of the first to ever be broadcasting online. It's not just the tagline. That's legitimate. But whenever there was an opportunity where the station we worked for wanted us to go do a live event or a live to air from somewhere, do you remember the amount of people and the amount of equipment and gear that was required for us to go live to air somewhere? Like we'd have at least two engineers. We would have stacks and stacks of road cases and mixers and compressors and preamps and all this crap. And now it's like you do everything off a phone. You do everything off a computer.
Yeah. Legit. I still tell people how much I hate you for the day that you had booked that convention when we were doing the O Show stuff, and you booked at that wrestling convention and had to bring in all of the equipment. Like we're hauling speakers in, like, oh, hey, the band is here. And it's like, no, we're just setting up to see if we can fucking, you know, talk shit to people. That's a fucking ridiculous thing in the world.
We had a fun day, though. We ended up,
let it be known that we've always been able to make the have a good time in the worst of situations.
This is true. This is true. We always end up smiling and having a good time.
I'll be fine in the apocalypse. That's all I'm saying.
It is crazy, though, man. Just the amount of tech progression that we've seen just in our adult lives. Never mind, like. You know what I mean? Like if this world must be hard for seniors. They look at that and go, well, in my day, you know, computers were for nerds.
Three letters for you, Donnie. Three letters. D-A-T.
Oh, dat tapes. Yeah, we used to record everything. We couldn't record in those days onto a computer because computer hard drives were like, there was no size. There was no storage capacity on a computer. So we had to record to digital audio tape, which looked like a little tiny cassette tape. And all of our original broadcasts were recorded to DAT tapes.
Yeah.
And like someone said to me the other day, like, oh, do you have all those DAT tapes? And I'm like, even if I did, who the hell has a DAT tape player? Like, you know, and knowing how bad some of those early shows were, I'd rather just set those things on fire anyways. So
I know who has a player. I know a player. You know him too. Yeah. A musician friend of ours that would actually did this show.
Oh, what's his name?
Big B. Wheatus.
Yeah. From Wheatus. That's right.
Yeah.
He went through the whole process of converting their album from DAT.
Yeah.
He talked about that because back in those days, same era when he did Teenage Dirtbag, everything in studios was getting recorded to DAT because computers didn't have that ability. Now you just, my God, you could store a million movies on your laptop. You know, like crazy. We sound ridiculous right now. We sound like the grandfathers of podcasting. So you know what? I'm done aging ourselves. Tid, anything you want to plug or promote? And let's wrap this sucker up.
Now, you know, you can always check out all of the other stuff at Notorious TID on all of the socials, on X, on Instagram, all of those places, as well as the Law Live Audio Wrestling, always on YouTube. We got some new stuff coming up. That's, you know, always, like you said earlier, my Tid Talk stuff over at Tid Talk on YouTube as well. It's never a dull fucking moment, Donnie. It's never a dull moment.
Y'all can follow me on Instagram at Donnie.DeSilva. That's Donnie with an IE. Someone spelled it with a Y and I wanted to punch them in the throat. Donnie with an IE dot DeSilva on Instagram. And you can see whatever the hell I'm up to or not up to or whatever. It's all there, folks. I think we wrapped this one up a little early, Tid.
Yeah. That way you can get to your Thursday night Big Brother talk, right?
He just wants to make fun of me so badly for it.
That's really what it's boiling down to. You're like, in and out, quick time. I got Big Brother stuff to chat about.
The truth is, the Big Brother live episode starts 15 minutes from now, and I haven't eaten yet. So your boy needs a little bit of nourishment before the Big Brother nonsense, and then the live stream with Christmas Abbott. But regardless, we're going to power through. All right. That's Tid. I'm Donnie. Yep. This has been episode 183. We are done this party. We'll see you next time.
See you, nerd.
Fuck this shit, I'm out. Mm-mm. Fuck this shit, I'm out.
No thanks.
Don't mind me. I'ma just grab my stuff and leave. Excuse me, please. Fuck this shit, I'm out.
Nope.
Fuck this shit, I'm out.
All right, then.
I don't know what the fuck just happened, but I don't really care. I'ma get the fuck up out of here.
Fuck this shit, I'm out.